So the questions that are central in our reading today are, what makes someone a follower of Jesus? Who belongs to this Jesus following movement and who doesn't? And really at the core of those questions is, how are we saved? Now, these are foundational questions of faith, and it may either comfort or distress you to know they've been being asked since the beginning of the church, and they continue on today. But this is the story we're in today in the book of Acts, is this wrestling, this question over doing it right, over being Jesus followers. So here's some connecting dots to get you to this point in the story. So we're in chapter 15. Well, at the end of chapter 7, we meet Saul, who becomes infamous in his persecution of Christians, going after them, speaking ill about them, even killing them. But then he has a conversion experience on the road, and his name is changed from Saul to Paul. And there are lots of his letters included in our scriptures now. So Paul and then a guy called Barnabas meet up, and they're out preaching and teaching. And Acts is just a wild romp. Think about how interesting our church worship can be. It's nothing compared to the book of Acts. These guys were having to flee towns because people were so riled up about what it was they were preaching and teaching. Okay, meanwhile, Peter raises someone from the dead, and then in chapter 10, he has this wild vision of the sheet being lowered down, and there are all these things on the sheet that he would call profane and wouldn't be allowed to eat as a good Jew. But then he has this vision helps him to change his mind about just who can receive God's love, which is everybody, right? So more and more non-Jews are joining the movement. They're called Gentiles. And so this question starts to arise about, well, is this a good thing to just let all these people in to follow Jesus? So today in our story, Paul and Barnabas are in Antioch, where many Gentiles become followers of Jesus. And then a group of certain individuals, we're told, visit Antioch from Judea, where Jerusalem is. And they're there on a mission to correct their teaching, to correct the teaching of Paul and Barnabas about bringing all these non-Jews into this movement. And their argument, we're told right off in the first verse of our scripture reading for today, we're told what their argument is, that's circumcision. Unless you are circumcised according to the custom we've received from Moses, you can't be saved. They see that the law is not being followed. Because in order to be a good Jew, circumcision was part of that rite. And it goes back to the promise God makes the people of Israel, the Jewish people, makes in the covenant with them to say, I will be faithful to you through this. And this was one of the signs. So here come these certain individuals saying you're not following the law, yet the law was never intended. The law wasn't given to establish a relationship with God. Rather, the law, God gives the law through Moses because we're already in relationship with God, and God can clearly see that we need some parameters to treat each other well. So the law isn't about hammering down on people for doing the wrong thing. It's actually to give life. It's actually to protect me from you and you from me. So that instead of only being concerned with our own actions, we are concerned for the actions of other people. That's the purpose of the law. It is to help stir up our good life together. So they argue about this. Right, and you can all talk about circumcision over lunch later on today. You're welcome. Last week it was eunuchs. You can go look that up if you weren't here. So teach your children well. So they can't come up with a solution, so they go to Jerusalem to solve the problem. And it's in Jerusalem where the rubber meets the road. And as an example of that, we've got a video to show today. Things change once people's stories are told. And that's what happens in today's reading. Might be hard to discern that. But they go to Jerusalem, and Paul and Barnabas begin to tell stories of how they have seen God at work in actual people's lives, how they've seen the Holy Spirit alive and well. Now, this ad is going to tell you that beer does that, right? But I'm here to tell you, as your pastor, that I think the Holy Spirit is what gathers us together. And the Holy Spirit is way more creative than any of us in getting us together. Because just like the people back in our story that we're reading today, they come to the table with circumcision. This is the line we will not cross to let people in. Imagine what line it is you might draw. Any of those that we saw in that video, any number that you have playing in your head, any that are alive and well within your life right now, we each have those things that we think, no, you can't. I can't love you. I can't be in a relationship with you. We all have those lines. And today's story tells us just the power that the Holy Spirit has in coming to life in our lives. And that's how lives are transformed, right? That's how hearts are changed, is through meeting each other, is through relationship, is through God showing up in the people and places that you swore to God you could never, a place you would never be, a person you would never come into contact with, much less, let alone love. And we've gathered together as members of the body of Christ, as members of a church. The good news is we get to say, everybody's welcome. And then we get to practice that in our everyday lives. We don't just sit here and wait for them to show up, but we try and go out and live our lives in a way that shows that we're open to seeing how God is alive and well in other people. And it's fitting that we read this story and that we also do a blessing around seniors today, reminding them that they too have this gift of knowing that they are a child of God, they belong to a community, and that when they go off in the fall or whenever it is they will go off, that this story of God's love through Jesus Christ, this story of the Holy Spirit coming in and getting us mixed up in the lives of other people and situations we never thought possible, this is who we are as precious children of God. This is the message that they take with them into their lives of faith, into their lives after high school, being members of the body of Christ and remembering that they are children of God. I want to end today with some of the scripture reading from today that reminds us what we rely on. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing on the neck of the disciples a yoke that neither our ancestors nor we would be able to bear? So the weight of the law, why are we putting the law on people again and again? On the contrary, he says, we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will. Isn't that the best news you've ever heard? And we say, thanks be to God. Amen.